Well, happy Easter. The resurrection. Jesus Christ, alive and risen from the dead, changes everything. Everything. But here's what it doesn't do. It doesn't eliminate trial or difficulty or suffering or even death. I said eliminate. But, like I said, the resurrection changes everything, including trial and difficulty and suffering, and yes, even and especially death. So with that, let's get into tonight's great gospel from John 20. You know, I labored hard all week wondering if the reading that we've just heard could have any particular relevance for today. It was super, super tough sledding. Because in the passage, we've got a group of people who have shut themselves inside because to be out in public would be dangerous to their health. One might say they were sheltering in place out of fear. And in the midst of that, the Lord has something to say to them. Try as I might, I couldn't find any connection. So my apologies to you all. So I guess we'll just have to focus on the scriptures themselves. In any case, Jesus comes to them. The gospel begins on the evening of that first day of the week when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst. Jesus came. Friends, that is so significant. The risen Lord, he passes right through the locked doors, right through the barriers, and enters right in to the place of fear. He doesn't wait for the apostles to regain their courage. He doesn't wait for them to have a conversion of heart. And he doesn't wait for us. See, Jesus is consistent. Just as he came and sought out humanity in the move of the incarnation, he comes. Risen from the dead, he comes and seeks us out in the resurrection. He comes. He's consistent. He never stops seeking us out. When he comes to the apostles and to us, he does three things. He speaks peace, he shows his wounds, and he gives a mission. He speaks peace, he shows his wounds, and he gives a mission. He says to the apostles, "Peace be with you." Their response, "And with your spirit." No, just kidding. Their response had to be one of astonishment and amazement. But the first word Jesus speaks, peace, shalom, peace be with you. And Jesus' peace is hugely significant. He's talked about it before in John 14. Verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." You hear that at the Mass, every time Mass is celebrated. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it. So do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." In this time, we need Jesus' peace almost more than anything else. But his peace allows us to calm down, to have our hearts settled, to not be troubled or afraid. I want to tell a story. This was from the second pilgrimage that I was ever able to lead for the Carroll students. We went to a beautiful place up above Assisi where St. Francis prayed. It's called the Hermitage Eremo in Italian. And it's a great, profound place of peace. Every student who's ever gone there with me, nobody ever wants to leave because the peace is so rich and real. And as you walk into the sanctuary, there is a small wooden sign over the archway that you enter into. And it says, "Ubi Deus, ibi pax." So it's Latin. "Ubi Deus, where there is God, ibi pax," there is peace. Ubi Deus, ibi pax. And that's nice. It could be a nice phrase, a nice slogan even. But when we went there, the second pilgrimage, years ago now, it was when Father Ned, who's priest now, he was a carol student at the time. We always organized a tour, and you never know who you're going to get, a friar or a sister to give the tour. And this year, it happened to be a German sister named Sister Angela, and I'll never, ever in my whole lifetime forget her, because her eyes, her blue eyes, were electric with the divine life. They crackled with life. And normally, whoever gives the tour gives a history of the place. Sister Angela saw our group, a bunch of college students. She spent literally 30 seconds on the history of the place. She's like, yeah, Francis came here. He slept over there. This was built then. This was that. This is that. And then she said, I want to talk to you about the spiritual life. And I'm in the back of the group just like, yes, yes. Because to have an on-fire sister who loves Jesus speak to hearts about the spiritual life is one of the great treasures of the church. She said, did you see that sign when you walked into this sanctuary? Ubi Deus, ibi pax. Students nodded. She said, I want to talk to you about that. And then she went on and she said, the peace of the Lord is unlike any other type of peace in the world. It is the peace that comes from after having fought and won. The peace of the Lord is the peace that comes from after having fought and won. That's what Jesus offers to us. Because he fought and he won. That is Easter. His victory is certain. And so our peace should be just as certain, just as strong as his victory. How do we know Jesus fought and won? Because he shows his wounds. See, if he was just talking peace and it was a nice little turn of phrase, okay, what does that mean? I mean, it's like the signs we put on our bumper stickers, peace. Okay, where's the substance in that? Human peace doesn't have enough substance. Divine peace does. And Jesus' peace comes from having fought and won. And so he shows the apostles his wounds. Brothers and sisters, ponder the gift of having a God who didn't absent himself from the fight. Ponder that gift. We don't think about it enough. Ponder the gift of having a God who didn't absent himself from the fight. The risen Lord has wounds. All of us in our woundedness, we can come to the risen Lord, and in his wounds we can be healed. But his wounds are a little bit like his resurrection. The resurrection didn't eliminate trial and difficulty, suffering or death, but it changed him. Jesus' wounds, as we contemplate them, doesn't mean we'll never be wounded. In fact, if we follow him, we are certain to be wounded. Know that, because if we follow Jesus, just as he did not absent himself from the fight, neither can we absent ourselves from the fight. Jesus says it in so many different ways. Take up your cross, follow me, deny yourself, sacrifice. But he says it this way in John 16, 33. He said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Some translations say, be of good cheer. Some translations say, be of courage. We are going to have trouble in this world. You see the trouble all around if you turn on the news. You see the trouble all around if you live in real relationship with anybody, including your families. You see the trouble in your own heart. We will have trouble. But be of good cheer, because our Lord has overcome the world and everything in it, including our own hearts. See, Jesus doesn't save the apostles from the threats of the world. All of them except John die martyrs' deaths. Did you know the first 33 popes in our history all died martyrs' deaths. Think about that. The first 33 all died martyrs' deaths. Jesus doesn't save them from trial, difficulty, suffering, or death. What he saves them from is the fear of trial, difficulty, suffering, and death. And they become bold and free men because of that salvation. And if you don't believe me, read the Acts of the Apostles. So once Jesus has spoken peace, once he has shown them his wounds, then he gives them a mission. And he says to them directly, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. He involves them in the work. He co-missions them. You see, the church, it doesn't have a mission. It is a mission. And what is that mission? It is the continuing of making present the work of Jesus, to extend it throughout time, to bring it right into our day and our age in 2020, in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. We have a mission. But with every mission that Jesus offers, whether to the apostles or to us, there is a choice. So the apostles, they are free to choose. And friends, think about that choice for just a second before you say, oh, it must have been so easy for them. Jesus had just been brutally tortured and put to death. He's back? Yeah, but he was God. And they are not. Jesus' enemies are still out there. And it's not like the apostles covered themselves with glory the last time they faced Jesus' enemies. They all ran away, terrified. So they have to make a choice. Or maybe better, a battle has to be waged. And not an external one, but a more difficult one, an internal one. Those battles, the one inside us, those are always harder to fight and win. And maybe the great battle in the human heart is not so much between love and hate, but it's a battle between trust and fear. Trust versus fear. You think about that in your own heart tonight. Trust versus fear. Which side is winning? The apostles and us have to choose whether or not they'll trust Jesus with their lives. And that means leaving the pseudo-safety of the locked room. They have to trust him. So do we. Where do you need to trust Jesus tonight? What locked room is Jesus entering into to invite you to leave? We have a choice. Trust versus fear. But when we choose to trust Jesus, the very place where we're most afraid is changed. And it becomes the birthplace of our own mission. And we were made for that. We're made for that mission. So friends, know the closeness of the risen Lord in these days. Let him come to you, even and especially where you are most afraid. Let him speak his peace to you. Let his wounds give you courage to embrace your own sufferings and the sufferings of others. And above all, let him send you on his mission, the very mission the Father gave to him, which Jesus now entrusts to you and to me.